lecturer updates. I'm Dee Dodson. On this edition of the podcast, you'll hear the latest on the closing of Gary's historic Roosevelt High School. Lake County recorder Michael B. Brown was arrested on domestic violence charges, and Chris Nolte has a conversation with the director of the Indiana University Northwest Center for Professional Development, Jana Zostek. All of that and more on this edition of Lakeshore Updates. Gary's historic Roosevelt High School building will not house students for the foreseeable future. The Indiana Distressed Unit Appeal Board, which oversees the state takeover Gary Community School Corp, voted unanimously Thursday morning on recommendations put forth by the Gary Emergency Team not to invest in repairs, essentially closing the building to students. The Times reports the state's DUAB also voted to open a national search for community interest in rehabilitating the approximately 90-year-old building, emphasizing a need to maintain the Roosevelt building in its current state until the Gary Community School Corp can seek new ownership that, quote, offers the greatest benefit for the Gary community. Students were first displaced from the Roosevelt School building last February when the winter's polar vortex wreaked havoc on the building's aging infrastructure. Theodore Roosevelt College and Career Academy's approximately 427th through 12th grade students have been attending class in the Gary Area Career Center ever since. No update has been given on where these students, overseen in academics by for-profit education services provider Edison Learning, will attend school next year. Gary Community School officials, who are responsible for housing the students, will make a determination on student placement based on projected enrollment for the 2020-2021 school year, according to a district statement.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson.
An elected Northwest Indiana official has been arrested on 6 domestic battery charges, alleging he battered his pregnant girlfriend several times, dating back to last June. Lake County recorder Michael B. Brown was arrested at his Lake Station home Monday afternoon. The Times reports he also faces criminal confinement and neglect charges after the girlfriend told police he threw a cup that nearly struck a 3-month-old child. Court documents say a friend of the girlfriend called police after she reached out to him, quote, because things are getting worse and she is scared. Since being released Wednesday afternoon, Michael B. Brown has referred all questions to his attorney.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson.
More than 2,000 sets of fetal remains found last year at the suburban Chicago garage of one of the Midwest's most prolific abortion doctors have been buried at an Indiana cemetery. Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill presided over a service following Wednesday's burial, telling about 100 people who gathered that the remains discovery was, quote, horrifying to anyone with normal sensibilities. The 2,411 sets of fetal remains were found in a garage and a car owned by Dr. Ulrich Klopfer after he died in September. Hill said that Klopfer had, quote, ghoulishly packed up the remains and stored them at his properties.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson.
Lake County highway officials will be able to do a bridge project in Munster thanks to Uncle Sam. NDOT announced this week the County Council's federal grant application to help pay for replacing a county-owned bridge on 45th Avenue over Hart Ditch. The new bridge will be just west of White Oak Avenue and east of the current construction zone near Calumet Avenue. The federal grant will pay almost $5 million, or 80% of the $5.7 million total project cost. Construction of the new county bridge over Hart Ditch would begin in 2025 with a goal of completing it in 1 year.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
It looks unlikely the House will restore employment accommodations for pregnant workers that were stripped out in the Senate last week. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports the issue appears headed for a summer study committee, even as Governor Eric Holcomb pushes for more.
Pregnant employees have a patchwork of protections across state and federal law. Legislation this session would have ensured that employers reasonably accommodate their pregnant workers. Things like seating or more frequent or longer breaks. But Senate Republicans eliminated those provisions, and House Speaker Brian Bosma appears unwilling to restore them.
It was a new proposal this year, and it was the governor's proposal. We want to be very respectful of that, but it had a lot of pushback in the business community.
Representative Cindy Kirchhofer, the bill's sponsor, says she'll push for what she can get enough votes to pass.
I've got to consider business as well as pregnant moms. So obviously pregnant moms are a valuable resource and we want to take care of them.
Pregnancy accommodations are one of the governor's priorities this year. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
North Vernon is a small town in southeast Indiana. And like a lot of rural areas, it was hit hard by both the opioid epidemic and a shortage of skilled workers. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Justin Hicks reports, a local manufacturing company and a group of pastors set out to solve both problems with a solution they say other places could learn from.
A couple of years ago, Zach Ritchie was driving back from Cincinnati with friends after buying heroin.
Got to stuff, went to the mall, see what was all at the mall, and stopped at the gas station.
At the gas station, someone brought out the drugs.
We all did it, and then by the time we pulled out of the gas station, dude, it just totally stopped my heart and everything, yeah.
Fortunately, he was given treatment and survived. But even after that, he kept using drugs until he was eventually caught at a traffic stop near his home and arrested for possession. In fact, the local sheriff's office estimates that a little more than half of all arrests they make stem from drug use. But today, Richie is in a completely different place. He has a full-time job, a fiancé, and doesn't use opioids at all. He credits the turnaround to a partnership in his hometown of North Vernon between a group of pastors and a plastics molding company called Decatur Plastic Products.
Inside your car, if there's anything plastic, there's a chance that this is the process that was done.
That's Kent Stroud, one of the pastors that helped Richie. He and some local pastors would walk the factory floor once a week and counsel workers with anything they wanted to talk about. One of the owners, Robert Riley, says pragmatically it was just an easy way to combat a high employee turnover rate.
If we can't help the community in which we operate and the community erodes, then the business is going to disappear.
But outside the factory, pastors kept watching families in North Vernon struggle with opioid addiction and the way it could derail people's jobs and housing. So he got the pastors together to pitch a novel idea. What if Decatur Plastics donated the money for a supervised house for former drug users and then employed them at the plastics factory?
It was a very easy decision for us because this is a community that really needed it.
The pastors got the house and called it the Potter's House. Stroud made a deal with a local judge and prosecutor to allow an inmate to live at the house on probation with a life coach. They reluctantly agreed since it would free up jail space. But the next thing Stroud needed was their first participant, so he went to the county jail. And that's where he met Richie.
And I was just like, man, I'm in trouble. It's going to be a while before I get out.
Stroud laid out the plan to Richie. If he accepted, he'd be a guinea pig of sorts, spending a year at the Potter's House while working full-time at the plastics company. And if Richie relapsed or went back to jail, it could kill the whole program before it even really started.
And I knew this is my second chance. So I pretty much said, I'm your guy. I promise I'll make it all the way through there.
Richie moved into the house, and after a few months with no major problems, a few more inmates came. Stroud says a large part of their success came when people were able to put a face to the opioid crisis. It helped the community tackle a huge nationwide issue by focusing on one person at a time.
And this is only one small house, and this is only one employer, but in a community, it brings hope, and to a problem, it brings real people. And so it doesn't just affect Zach. This has had an impact on Grandma and Grandpa and Mom and Dad and now fiance and baby. You know, that's a big chunk of our community.
Encouraged by the Potter's House, Decatur Plastics Products also started a work release program for women inmates. Now Stroud estimates about one in every 10 employees came through some type of second chance program. Rachel Halleck focuses on addiction programs at Indiana's Family and Social Services Administration. She says often, people recovering from addiction need to fulfill basic needs like housing and a steady job, things they may have never had before in their lives.
That's an incredibly monumental task. And for organizations to come in and help with housing stability or employment training, any one of these helps give a leg up to a person that's attempting to rebuild their life.
With unemployment rates at historic lows and available workers hard to come by, more companies might start looking at those who need just a little bit of help to get back into the workforce. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Justin Hicks.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Here's Regionally Speaking host Chris Nolte with a conversation with Jana Zostek.
They've been called problem solvers. They've been called relationship builders. They've also been called, even in some cases, project management planners and pros. We're talking about an organization that happens to be maybe one of Northwest Indiana business's best-kept secrets. But they're very busy these days, and here's a chance for you to learn more about them. We're referring to the IU Northwest Center for Professional Development. And we have with us the director of the CPD, Jana Zostek, to talk about the operations on the Gary campus and what they really do here for businesses in Northwest Indiana. Jana, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit about how the center got created. It's really part of the School of Business and Economics on the IU Northwest campus in Gary. But how did the center get started?
The center was started way back before my time, over 20 years ago, as a way for the school and the faculty to share their expertise with the community. The center started out providing a lot of resources and consulting and training for the local business community. Employers would come in and want specific training, and so our faculty would develop that training and go out and provide that to the business. So that's how we started. Mm-hmm. Now we're expanding a little bit into some additional programs to help the economic development of Northwest Indiana. We want to help to ensure that our workforce is well-trained and, you know, ready to help employers to succeed.
Now, you mentioned here about the fact that training was something, even at the outset of the CPD being created. What kind of training has it evolved over time in the 20 years to where you are today and what you're being able to offer for Northwest Indiana businesses that are interested?
Really, anything that a business would need, we have, I think, the expertise to help them. We have faculty in a variety of business disciplines, management, human resources, finance, accounting, marketing. We do really a variety of training and consulting for those businesses. We have consulting projects worked into coursework as well, so actual student teams in classes will, for instance, develop a marketing plan for a business. So I hate to limit us by saying these specific things.
They have a very, very wide range, to be sure, ranging from not only things that actually help a business get started or to get growing, but also if they have questions or issues with HR issues, you can help them out too.
And we do a lot of consulting with businesses where they know that they're not performing as well as what they would like, but they're not necessarily sure of what the problem is, and so we'll come in and consult with them and look at their business operations kind of across the board, and then we'll propose to them, here are some things that we think would help, and here's how we can help you achieve those things.
One thing we should note, too, that this is much to IU Northwest, I guess, a feather in the cap, literally, that the School of Business and Economics, of which the center is as part of, has the opportunity with the best accreditations in almost in the world, I guess, with a very small percentage of business schools in the country are part of. Tell us about how the accreditation that the university has is helping the center.
The accreditation is fantastic because it helps us to focus in on how we're performing, and it gives us a framework for making sure that we are evaluating ourselves and continuously improving our programs, our classes, everything that we offer through the School of Business. So it's really about a continuous improvement and making sure that we're the best that we can be.
We're talking with Jana Zostak, who is the director of the Center for Professional Development at Indiana University Northwest, about the center itself and the services it's offering to businesses and organizations in Northwest Indiana that need some help from time to time. I understand that the help that the center's been able to offer pretty much covers the gamut of business, from big business to small business. Tell us about some of the organizations that have called on the CPD for help and what they've been able to do.
Well, we've helped major international corporations. We've worked with the steel industry, providing training. Management training was one of the programs that we offer for them. We have worked with nonprofits, a couple of the major nonprofits in this area that came to us for survey work and evaluating need in the community for their services. We have worked with fire departments and providing management training for them as well. We've even worked with some major universities outside of Northwest Indiana that needed some help on teamwork and leadership, which is an area of expertise for us. We've worked with major retailers in this area, a lot of management development, but also writing job descriptions for them and creating job analysis procedures and so forth for them.
I understand that, and this is a phrase that a name that folks involved in business and in industry in Northwest Indiana are very aware with, is Lean Six Sigma. Tell us about this methodology and how the center helps businesses deal with that.
The Lean Six Sigma is a program that combines concepts of lean operations, which is looking at, you know, the eliminating waste within your operations. And it's combined with a quality management focus. And so it combines those two concepts into a process that a business can use for evaluating and improving their operations. There are different levels to the Lean Six Sigma. We primarily talk about the green belt and the black belt. So the green belt is an entry level. Someone who has a green belt is someone who's trained to work on a continuous improvement team. And then someone who has a black belt, they're higher in their training, they would be the people who would lead that team. I actually completed the green belt program last year. I learned so much about how to improve not only the centers that I operate here for IU Northwest, but I've applied those concepts into a couple of the nonprofits that I personally work with, and it gives you a different way of thinking about how you run your business.
I know that in particular, there are a number of major businesses here in Northwest Indiana that have taken advantage of the Center for Professional Development and have some glowing recommendations on how it's happened. And NIPSCO is one of them, which is can't get much more major than that in Northwest Indiana, to be sure. What did the Center work on with NIPSCO and the results that they happen to be able to take away and to be able to use now?
Quite a few of their employees have completed the Lean Six Sigma program, both green belt and black belt. So we've conducted actual programs just for them on the green belt. So we've had quite a few people come through from NIPSCO through our Lean Six Sigma program. And so they're able to go back and work more effectively in the teams at NIPSCO. They're able to identify where there might be some waste, where there might be some continuous improvement issues, and they're able to identify those, bring those to the attention of their supervisors, and hopefully then that would lead to an improvement project that NIPSCO would undertake.
I know that part of the appeal that the center has for businesses and industries, big and small in Northwest Indiana, is that they get the advantage of having the expertise of the faculty and staff at IU Northwest, but they don't have to be students, although I guess they could be if they decided to go back for master's, the MBA degree in particular. What kind of areas does the center help do that? You mentioned a lot of them here because they're all related in a way, that in turn take advantage of this expertise on campus the best and be able to help make them available to the community at large.
The certification programs benefit people whether they have a degree or do not. Mm-hmm. So the people with degrees, of course, they expand their credentials. They learn the intricacies of a particular concept, such as Lean Six Sigma. Those who don't have degrees gain skills as well. They gain that Lean Six Sigma concept that they can then use to augment their resume and hopefully help them in their job search. Now, bachelor's and master's degrees remain the standard for people who want to progress in their careers. And we believe that the certification, even if you're non-degreed, it will give you the opportunity to make sure you like the field that you're pursuing and hopefully help you find a job. And maybe you'll even find employment with a company that would have some tuition reimbursement. So when you do pursue that degree, hopefully the financial side of it will be offset mm-hmm. for you as well.
I was wondering if there have been people who have taken advantage of the programs through the center, like you said, that didn't necessarily start out, and maybe you haven't been able to follow through on an actual college degree from IU Northwest, but they've been able to improve their job lot a lot, maybe in some cases big improvement on their career because of this.
Absolutely. And one of the things that was really important to me as I was setting up the certifications was that I wanted to make sure that we were providing programs for the people who did not have a degree. And so we're offering not only certifications that will help people advance their career, we're offering programs that will help them create their degree or their career. So we have foundational courses. For instance, the project management professional certification is the standard for people who want to work as a project manager. But in order to get that PMP certification, you need an extensive amount of experience in project management. So we're offering a PMP prep course for those people who have that experience and want to challenge that exam, but we're also offering a foundations in project management course for those people who don't have the experience. They can come and earn our certification. They'll learn the concepts of project management. They'll be able to go out into interviews and pursue a job at an entry-level project management position. And then when they get the experience, they can pursue that certification, but they'll at least have the certification from IU Northwest that says they completed that foundations of project management.
Now, Jana, if an organization, we'll say XYZ Corporation or company, they're just a small business getting started, if they're interested in getting involved with the Center for Professional Development, how do they do that? How do they get their foot in the door, literally?
One of the best ways is to reach out to me, and then we can have a conversation about what their needs are. We obviously have our website. You can go to the website and learn more about our programs. The website is evolving. Our programs are evolving. So even though we're starting with about 15 certifications that we're offering in 2020, we have others in progress. And so it's kind of very fluid situation, I guess I'll say. So contacting me, if you're really not sure of which program might be best for you, would probably be the easiest approach. If you know that you definitely want, for instance, Lean Six Sigma, we have a Green Belt program beginning in May. That information is on our website. We have a project management, a foundations program starting in April. That information is on our website. And then the Dale Carnegie program, can I just mention that for a moment?
Yeah, please do.
That is I'm really excited about being able to offer the Dale Carnegie program. They are an internationally recognized training company, and their certifications are something that will stand out on a resume. So I'm really excited to have them on board as well. The program that we're starting with from Dale Carnegie is their sales program. It's called Winning with Relationship Selling. So what I want to stress, because I completed this program last year too, fantastic program. Every person in every job has sales responsibilities. Even if you're not technically a salesperson, we all are in positions where we need to sell ideas. We need to sell ourselves. We need to sell a product. Across the board, we all do this. And they have developed this program that really helps you to understand the needs of the person that you're speaking to and developing that relationship, identifying needs, and then talking about how you can help them fill that need. It's a fantastic program, and we are offering that in March. So that's coming up pretty quickly.
Well, it's time to get signed up for that if you're interested. What's the website address if people are interested in getting to know more about the center and more about these programs, the ones you've mentioned that are coming up?
So it's www.iun.edu/CPD.
Jana Zostek is the director of the Center for Professional Development at IU Northwest, which is, of course, on the Gary campus. And Jana, thank you for spending time talking about the center, about all of the successes and the opportunities that the center and the staff members and the faculty members who participate in the center are able to make to small business and large business all across Northwest Indiana. Thank you very much for being
regionally
with us to
speaking,
talk about
with host
well,
Chris
thank you
Nolte
so much
can be
for
heard each Monday through Thursday
really
at noon
it.
On Lakeshore
You're
Public Radio, 89.1 FM,
Radio.
And streaming online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can also find podcasts of the show when you click on the program link. For the latest in local news and information, tune in Monday at 6 a.m. for Morning Edition with local host Chris Nolte. Lakeshore Update is supported by the listeners and members of Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Podcasts for Lakeshore Update are posted each Friday on our website, lakeshorepublicradio.org, as well as on NPR One. Make sure you search for WLPR and select us as your home station. Music for Lakeshore Update was written and produced by bensound.com. For Lakeshore Update, I'm Dee Dotson.